This is the Kim Fraser Show on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
CJD time is 109. Coming up after 1:30, Chintze Cuneo drops by to tell us what's for dinner this week after perusing the grocery store flyers, finding out what's on sale and composing yummy menus based on them. Save you a little money, too. Right now, though, want to take a look at labor. A little while ago, we have our first-time mom, Natty LaWand, was down at the hospital, and she was very, you know, kind of focused on going to have a natural childbirth or wasn't going to opt for an epidural until she heard some laboring woman screaming the paint off the walls, and it left her just a little bit nervous, I think, and I think most first-time moms are a little bit nervous about the labor process, right, Nadia?
Oh, yeah. Especially after hearing those sounds.
Now, it's so funny because there were four women there. Three of them weren't screaming. One was, and you were just like, okay, maybe we need to investigate this just a little bit further.
I needed to do some research.
Okay. So we asked our listeners, you know, epidural, not epidural. People called in, shared all of their stories, the good, the bad, the ugly, from depending on their birth experiences. And after that, well, a gentleman got in touch with us. His name is Dr. William Kamen. He's the director of obstetric anesthesia at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. And he's co-authored a book called Easy Labor. And he's on the line with us. Hi, Dr. Kamen.
Good afternoon, Kim, Nadia.
Hi.
Hello.
So I thought that we would kind of put you two together and give an expectant mom, a first-time mother, the chance to, you know, kind of grill a guy who's been there for a very long time. Dr. Kamen, I just want to get this question in first because I think it's every first-time mother asks you this. How much is it going to hurt?
Well, certainly I'm not qualified to answer that question based on personal experience, but certainly having been around quite a few women during labor, it is an extraordinarily painful process for many women, although there's a large degree of variability. Some tolerate things much better than others, but for the most part, it's going to hurt. No matter what your particular pain tolerance is, you can expect to have some degree of pain with this.
See, Nadia?
Yeah, for sure, some degree. I guess it was just the screaming, wailing, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world, it's come, that type of screaming that kind of scared me off. And that's why, you know, I said, oh my gosh, I need to do research about this. Maybe going natural is not the way to go. Maybe I do have to look at alternatives.
Well, it's like a huge Charlie horse. I think that's the only way that you can describe it because it's a cramp.
Well, I guess that's one way to put it. The uterus is a muscle. When you have a muscle cramp, like after an athletic workout, you have some aches and pains in your muscles, and the uterus is going through an athletic workout during a labor and contractions. So the analogy to a Charlie horse is very appropriate.
Dr. Kamen, in your experience, do you find, because Nadia is really fit, she's works as a personal trainer, so she's super fit, she's super preparing herself. Does that make a difference in how women experience labor?
Yes and no. The reason mostly no is that the muscle of the uterus is different than the muscles that are used when you are exercising or doing the things that would be involved like as a personal trainer. It's a different kind of muscle, and the pain is really not related to that.
How do we do uterus exercises?
Well, it's pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
That's not really a muscle that you can exercise the way you can some of your other muscles.
So is there any way to prepare physically?
Well, just being in good shape. There's no question that exercise during pregnancy is useful, is helpful. Swimming, whatever you can tolerate, it's perfectly acceptable to, except with certain types of pregnancy complications, to exercise right up until the time that you deliver, and that would be recommended.
Okay, Nadia, you got your own doctor right here.
Oh, my gosh. Where do I start? First of all, I mean, I was just at the hospital actually this morning, and I was listening again to the, you know, laboring mothers around me and speaking to nurses about different things, and they saw your book there. I was reading your book at the time. I was actually finishing it off. And one of the big questions I want to know is, how am I going to know if I really need it? Like, I mean, there's pain. Obviously, childbirth, there's going to be pain. But how do I know if I really need it?
There's no way to tell until you're there. And by need it, I assume you mean an epidural?
Yes, like medication.
So you'll be working with your labor nurses who almost exclusively are well-trained nurses who specialize in nursing for women during labor, as well as your either obstetrician or midwife, whoever is taking care of you. And they are very experienced in helping decide what the different options are. And there's other options besides just an epidural as well. There's various types of non-medical pain relief that are often used in the early stages of labor. For example, one of the most effective things that I can recommend during early labor is water, either being in a shower or a bath, if your hospital has bathtubs or jacuzzis, as many have. But certainly just getting into a shower, just like after a strenuous athletic workout, a nice warm shower or jacuzzi is helpful. That's extremely helpful during labor, and many women spend hours in the shower.
Yeah.
And it's extraordinarily relaxing and helpful, and gets many women through the hours of the early labor very effectively.
So how much does it relax you? I mean, how much does the fact that you're relaxed have an impact?
I think that has a huge impact.
Okay.
A huge impact. So being mentally prepared is probably more important than even being physically prepared. Mentally prepared for, first of all, the unpredictableness of this. One thing that I always like to tell women is that the most predictable thing about labor is that it's unpredictable.
Yes.
So just be prepared for almost anything, or maybe things even you can't be prepared for. But being mentally prepared for just about anything is extraordinarily important. Having appropriate caregivers, like your obstetrician or midwife that you have a good relationship with, your labor nurse, a doula, if you choose to use a doula, mm-hmm. a professional labor coach. These people will work with you, and they're very experienced in recommending what the right things are at the right time. But the most important input on that is from yourself. Some people find that staying in the shower is enough to last throughout labor, and others find, after a few minutes of that, I want to get my epidural.
And
that's totally okay.
Yeah.
Nadia, we're gonna let you grill Dr. Kamen some more. Dr. William Kamen is the director of obstetric anesthesia at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. He's also the co-author of the book Easy Labor, which takes a look at many of the options that are open these days to laboring moms to help them get through the whole process.
This is the Kim Fraser Show on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
You know, it is such an exciting time, particularly in a woman's life. It's exciting for first-time dads, too. But to be pregnant, the thought of having a baby is, it's just so thrilling, particularly at the beginning when you discover you're pregnant and, you know, everyone fusses over you. And as time goes by, you get a little bigger. And then as time goes by, you realize eventually this thing is going to have to come out. Right, Nadia?
Oh, yeah.
And Nadia LaWanda is our expectant mom. She's a first-time mom, and I don't think there is a woman out there, and if you say you weren't worried about it, you're a big fat liar, that has not greeted the thought of going into labor with some small amount of trepidation, because it's difficult. So Nadia, we have Dr. William Kamen on the line with us. He's a co-author of the book Easy Labor. Now, you've read the whole thing.
I did. I finished it in the hospital this morning.
Do you feel better?
It's actually very helpful. I mean, there's obviously things that I would like to kind of go over again, because one of the main things is it talks about, which I loved, you talked about all of the different methods, whether it's, water labors or Lamaze or hypnosis, which is actually really interesting. I'd love to hypnotize myself before going in. But the thing that really still concerns me is that our system does push using the epidural for pain relief. And I think every single person I've met said, oh my gosh, it's so much easier, just get the epidural.
Well, a couple
really
of comments about that. First of all, the epidural is the most effective method of pain relief,
mm-hmm.
and the current statistics, at least for the United States, are that roughly about 75% of women giving birth will use an epidural, so it's by far the most commonly used method. And it's also extraordinarily safe. I know many people have concerns. Nothing is totally safe. Everything has risks associated with it, but the modern-day state-of-the-art epidural has changed quite a bit over the last decade or so. And I think the most important way it's changed is that the amount of medication that we use is very much less than we used to use. Probably the most important trend in providing epidurals is the quest for just enough amount of medication without giving too much. So the amounts of medications that are used have gone down dramatically over the last 10 or 20 years. But another little wrinkle has been added into this, which is the concept of allowing the patient to control exactly how much they get, which is something we call patient-controlled epidural anesthesia, mm-hmm. where you have a little button attached to your bed, which is attached to a pump where the medication is delivered, and the patient herself can press the button and determine exactly how much medication she needs. It's very, very controllable, allows you to give just enough but not giving too much.
Now, is that sort of so that she can control it? I mean, is an epidural kind of your numb or you're not?
No.
Or can you sort of just kind of dim it down a little bit to take the edge off?
It's actually, it's not just a question of being numb or not. That's one of the greatest advances in the epidural over the last decade or so, which is that because the patient can control exactly how much is being given, and since every woman feels a little bit different in terms of their pain tolerance and how much they want to feel, if someone wants to feel absolutely nothing, then that can be provided. But if somebody if somebody wants to be aware of the contractions, maybe like an ache or a tightening or just some minor degree of discomfort, then that can be provided as well. So it's exactly what the individual person wants, and it's very safe. You cannot overdose yourself with this. The pump and the button is set up in such a way that safety features are built in that prevent you from giving yourself an overdose, and it allows you to give, as I said, just enough but not too much.
Aren't we taking away from the natural childbirth process, you know, by medicating and just kind of dumbing it all down, or not numbing it all down, rather? You know, shouldn't we want to feel something?
Well, that's a very philosophical question, but one way to look at this is that with the epidural, you can be as pain-free as you want, and many women who are extraordinarily pain-free are much more able to focus on the joy of the experience and not be bothered by the distraction of the pain, whereas other women who are in so much pain that they can't really focus on the excitement of the process. Of course, everyone's different in how they tolerate these things, but there's a lot to be said for really being able to experience this without having the kind of pain that just distracts you from the enjoyment of it.
Coming up, I want to ask you about the hypnotism. Remember, Nadia, you said that was very intriguing when I asked about that. And the other thing is there's a question on everybody's lips. You know those lower back tattoos? Can you get an epidural if you have one of those babies? That's next.
Well,
this is the Kim Fraser Show on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
CJD time is 1:27. Our guest, the first-time mom, Nadia Lawand, is grilling Dr. William Kamen. He's the director of obstetric anesthesia at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston and co-author of the book Easy Labor. So, Nadia, you were saying when you're reading the book, you're very intrigued by the hypnosis.
Yeah, I thought, well, you know, why not go the hypnosis way instead of medication way? If I don't have to take medication, you know, an epidural, I really don't want to. So this whole idea of hypnosis and self-hypnosis,
I can certainly speak to that. There are many programs out there. For example, one is called Hypno Babies, a very popular program. It's not hypnosis in the sense of we think of from the movies where you're waving a watch in front of someone's eyes and they become in a trance. It's much more of a mind control or mental imagery techniques where you are using different words to visualize the different things that you're experiencing. For example, instead of the word contraction, you might think of a surge, or instead of pain, you might think of pressure, or instead of dilating, you might think of blossoming. They just change the words and with some preparation, and most of these courses do require a fair amount of preparation before going into labor, you can use some mental imagery and focusing techniques which allow many women to get through labor without any medications. And an important part about this is that it's still entirely compatible with getting medications. You can still use these hypnotic techniques and still get an epidural. And in fact, the combination is quite a good combination. There's no reason why you have to pick one or the other to the exclusion of either one. They're very compatible with each other and reasonably effective.
Yeah, I mean, I see that with all of the methods, is that they can be, you know, everything can go with an epidural or, you know, with med or not.
For example, using a doula is entirely compatible with getting an epidural, something I call the epidoula, where you're using the reassurance and education and support of a doula and the pain relief of an epidural. So that's a very good combination.
But that being said, going back to, you know, epidural and medication, is there, I know it's safe and I realize all of the facts and everything, but the fact is that the baby will get some of that medication.
Yes, well, this is a valid concern. Now, any medication which is given to the mother will, to some degree, some drugs different than others, will get to the baby. But the fact is that the amount of medication which is used in the modern-day epidurals is so small that the amount that the baby sees is very, very trivial. And many research studies have been done now on babies' alertness, or something called neurobehavioral testing of babies after delivery, basically to see how alert they are, how strong their reflexes are. And they show that the babies are very vigorous and very awake and alert after the modern-day type of epidural anesthetics.
Dr. Kamen, quickly, can you still get an epidural if you've got one of those lower back tattoos?
Well, it's an interesting question coming from you especially, because it seems to be, for reasons that I'm not clear about, much more of a concern among Canadian anesthesiologists than Americans. But the bottom line answer to that is it's absolutely not a problem. There is no issue with toxicity or any danger or damage of putting a needle through skin which has a tattoo on it. We do it all the time. It's an extremely popular site for for tattoos, the lower back, and not a problem at all to get an epidural if you have one back there.
Dr. Kamen, thank you so much for joining us. Nadia, we'll be thinking of you. And one thing I can tell you, the second that kid's out, the whole shebang stops hurting. It's amazing. You totally, absolutely forget the fact that you wanted to kill your husband for doing this to you.
Nadia, best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Nadia Lawan, first-time mom. Dr. William Kamen, he is the co-author of the book Easy Labor. CJ 80 Time is 1:30.